KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear, sunny skies, 14 degrees. We look for it to be sunny today with a high near 39. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports one person was arrested Friday evening, another early this morning. 20-year-old Benjamin Pera Morena of Lenox was arrested a little after 6:30 p.m. Friday for OWI drugged first offense. His bond was set at $1,000. And 25-year-old Nathan Allen Aldrich of Red Oak was arrested at around 1:10 a.m. today for driving while revoked for OWI and OWI second offense. Aldrich was being held with Montgomery County Jail on a $2,000 cash bond. Red Oak Police assisted with that arrest. And Red Oak Police report 59-year-old Charles Allen Shrum of Red Oak was arrested at around 1 a.m. today for public intoxication. Shrum was taken into custody at the intersection of North 2nd and East Joy Streets. His cash bond was set at $300. Officials of the Glenwood Police Department report four recent arrests. On Friday, 37-year-old Daisy Manfroy and 35-year-old Misty Pedersen of Glenwood were both arrested for possession of drug paraphernalia. Their bonds were set at $300 each. On Thursday, 41-year-old Michelle Sinclair of Glenwood was arrested on a Mills County warrant. Her bond was also $300. And 36-year-old Justin Wright of Glenwood was arrested for public intoxication third offense. His bond was set at $2,000. The Mills County Sheriff's Office reports two people were arrested Thursday morning. Deputies arrested 30-year-old Lance Allen Pfeiffer of Prairie Village, Kansas at around 2:35 a.m. for OWI third offense, improper use of lanes, and use of an electronic communication device. His bond was set at $5,000. And at around 8:50 a.m. Thursday, 45-year-old Ray Leslie Knipe of Glenwood was arrested on a warrant for failure to appear on a possession of controlled substance charge. His bond was set at $5,000. The sheriff's office said also on Friday that no injuries were reported after a strong gust of wind blew a 1992 Ford off the road on April the 3rd. The vehicle was traveling north on 315th Street in Mills County at around 4:50 p.m. when it went off on the right shoulder of the road. The driver, Trent Stillwell of Malvern, overcorrected, sending the truck across the road and into the west ditch where it rolled over and came to rest on its wheels. Elsewhere in the news, all Adair County 4-H and FFA members who plan to exhibit swine at the 2018 Adair County Fair must have their pigs tagged by Wednesday, April 18th. A letter detailing the process has been sent to exhibitors. Tags, identification sheets, and other papers may be picked up at the Adair County Extension Office between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. County fair tags are $1.50 each. Iowa State fair tags are $8, and there is a $3 per head charge for the lean value carcass contest. For more information about the Adair County and State Fair swine tagging requirements and details for classes in the County Fair Division, you can call the Extension Office at 641-743-8412. Well, two Iowa ag leaders, that is, say the impact of already imposed tariffs and the threat of new ones will be felt in the agricultural sector for years, perhaps for decades to come.
So we're in limbo. This is a very bad time for agriculture.
That's Iowa Farm Bureau President Craig Hill, who says any potential for profit in 2018 was wiped out this week, and it's a very scary time for farmers, despite assurances from the Trump administration officials that this is just a negotiating phrase.
The cavalier comments that came from Wilbur Ross, Secretary of Commerce, when he said, even shooting wars end in negotiation. Well, shooting wars end in casualties and collateral damage. Whether it's a victory or a defeat or some settlement, we are in a trade war. And trade wars don't end well. They're unpredictable.
Hill says history shows a trade war led into World War II and the Great Depression.
This is not a very good place to be. So I'm a little taken aback by this attitude that's come from the White House. It's a very serious matter, and Iowa is going to be the first casualty.
John Weber is the former president of both the Iowa Pork Producers and National Pork Producers Council. He says China's pork tariff is already on, and the day of reckoning is here.
These types of negotiations are long-term. They're not something that happens in a week or a day or a short period of time. It will take a long time to recover from the tariffs that have already been implemented or already talked about, and we are entirely dependent on trade in the state of Iowa and as pork producers in particular.
A quarter of the pork raised in Iowa is exported.
The growth of our industry is entirely dependent on future export markets.
Weber says young farmers are most vulnerable financially because they borrowed money to get started in the business. Steel prices have already increased cost for farmers buying grain bins or putting up hog confinements.
It seems to have been the practice of this administration to, you know, call people out on the table up front and negotiate later. Maybe that tactic will work. But believe me, it's a very uncomfortable time for those of us that are involved.
President Trump says he has directed Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue to come up with a way to shield farmers from the financial drag of these trade disputes. But Hill says that's unlikely.
The farm bill's yet to be drafted. Congress doesn't have the money to fix this. I don't know how you make farmers feel better with a promise of some reward from government. And it will be years before that happens.
Both Weber and Hill say President Trump is still popular in farm country, partly due to regulatory decisions from his administration. The Iowa Farm Bureau's president, though, warned that some minds may be changed if this cascade of trade sanctions gets completely out of control. Weber and Hill made their comments during a taping of Iowa Public Television's Iowa Press program. Iowa ethanol and biodiesel producers are warning President Trump that imposing restrictions on biofuels production would be viewed as a declaration of war on rural America. The Iowa Renewable Fuels Association, representing refineries in the nation's largest biofuels-producing state, called on Senators Charles Grassley and Joni Ernst on Friday to reach out to Trump. The refiners use corn, soybeans, and animal fat to make biofuels. They want the senators to tell Trump limiting biofuel production is a complete abdication of his repeated promises to protect biofuels. The group says it's heard that EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt plans to push Trump on Monday for a proposal that would cut biofuel demand. Farm states, already stinging from Trump's tariff fight with China, are alarmed that he could further hurt ag markets. And one day soon, the snow will stop falling. It'll warm up and start to feel like spring. And when that day arrives, so will ants, spiders, and other creepy crawlers. The USDA offers Iowans a website that's a clearinghouse of all sorts of invasive insects that could threaten our gardens, trees, yards, and crops. Greg Ibaugh, Undersecretary of Marketing and Regulatory Programs, says the growing trouble with emerald ash borer is well publicized, but other pests may not be as familiar.
Gypsy moth, Asian longhorn beetle, European cherry fruit fly, and are all things that we're worried about spreading into Nebraska and Iowa.
The emerald ash borer is in 55 of Iowa's 99 counties. Infestations in Marshall and Tama counties were confirmed late last month. The website hungrypests.com details the top 20 types of bugs that are now or could be soon a problem and how we can try to stop their spread.
When you travel or go camping, make sure you're not taking your wood with you. Pick up the wood that you're going to burn at your campsite there in the local area so that if there is a pest in the wood from your home area or vice versa, you're not transporting it.
And firewood isn't the only way that insects may be trying to hitchhike to a new venue.
Some of the camping equipment and toys and chairs and barbecues that you might be carrying, they could have egg masses or insects themselves attach themselves to that. So take a good look at those, clean them up, and make sure that you're not transporting pests that way.
There's also worry about people who may be trying to bring back a treat for themselves or as a gift for someone else from their faraway vacations.
If you travel abroad, it's very important that you follow the rules that Customs has posted. We're especially concerned about fruits and vegetables and meat that is coming into the U.S. from other countries. That's the most likely way that we will bring a disease or a pest into the U.S.
With the growth of e-commerce, Ebach says that the invasive pests can also travel through the mail. If you've ordered a package from outside the U.S., he says to inspect it closely inside and out to make sure there isn't anything attached that could be harmful. Damage from these pests costs our nation $40 billion each year, and since they have a few natural predators here, the insects can wreak havoc on the environment, ecosystems, and economy, putting agricultural exports and jobs in jeopardy. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.